This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United Podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you.
God is good. I'm so glad that you are with us tonight, whether you're in the building or whether you're at home and you're listening to this, or you're in your car, you're listening to this. I pray that this word would be strength to you today. I pray that this word would be life to you in the name of Jesus. I just want to welcome a good friend of mine, a powerful man of God, a powerful man in business and in stewardship. I want to welcome Brother George Gonzalez to the stage. Amen. Amen. I think we're 6 feet apart. The only thing you're going to catch from me is the Holy Ghost. All right. Let's pray and we'll get started. Can you see Brother George? Is he in the shot all right? All right. Just want to make sure everybody at home can see him. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you would speak to us according to your word, Lord. Your word brings life. Your word brings clarity. Your word brings inspiration and revelation, God. You know exactly what we need to hear tonight, Lord. So I thank you, God, that you would impress that upon our heart. If there's anything, God, that's not of you, Lord, let those words fall to the ground. And God, let only your word, God, be planted in the soil of our heart, and let it bring forth great fruit in our life, the fruit of transformation and the fruit of change. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen, amen, amen. We began talking a little bit about stewardship, and I want to continue in that vein of stewardship. So I'm happy that Brother George is with me tonight, and I want to talk right here out of Proverbs 13:22, which says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their grandchildren. Some translation says for their children's children, but we see that there is a concept of legacy. There's a concept of it's not just supposed to stop with us. When we steward correctly according to the word of God, there should be a blessing for our children. There should be a blessing for our children's children. We are leaving an imprint. We are leaving a lasting legacy. So I think this is so important when we take a look at stewardship, that we're leaving an inheritance. Now, your backgrounds, or one of your backgrounds, is in the financial industry, where you give people advice, mm-hmm. and you're very good at that. You're a professional at that. You've done that for many, many years. But you have a very godly approach to what you do. How do we leave an inheritance for our children's children? What does that look like on a practical level?
Well, on a practical level, you could do it various ways. The obvious ways is just what you've accumulated and you want to leave it behind. The thing is that a lot of people make mistakes in doing so. What you intended to do is not always what happens. Mm. And the reason why is because you're not doing the proper planning in advance. There are things that you can do, like your bank accounts. There's a form called payable on death or transfer on death that you can get from every bank, and you can designate beneficiaries on your bank accounts. If you were to pass away and you don't have one of those documents in place, by the way, they're free. They don't charge you anything for them. You put that in, and then that automatically identifies the person that you want to benefit in the event that, you know, you're no longer with us. So the same way that a life insurance contract works, where you leave the beneficiaries, whether it's going to be your spouse or your children or whoever, you have to designate these things. If you don't do them in advance, then you go through a process that's called probate. And probate, what it does is that it ties up your assets in the court system until a judge determines who is supposed to receive, you know, the monies that are there. And in many cases, you might wind up benefiting somebody that you did not intend to benefit. So it's important that you take the time, that you go to your bank, that you go to your brokerage house, that you go to your 401k or your IRA or wherever it is that you've accumulated your money, and make sure that you've designated who it is that's going to wind up with, you know, the things you've worked all your life to build, and to make sure that they receive it. With your home, you can designate them on the property address itself, on the actual title. My parents did that recently for myself, my sister, and my brother, where they took what's called a life estate on their house. What that basically means is that they're entitled to live in their house until the day they die, the day that they pass on. We automatically, all three of us, become the owner of the house. So that eliminates any possibility that it's going to wind up in the hands of the courts, and that, you know, that it doesn't wind up becoming a complicated issue when it can be done very simply, just by taking a little bit of time.
And I think it's so important when we're talking about leaving an inheritance. And of course, tonight we're going to talk more about the financial side. But of course, we leave an inheritance with our children with so many things. Of course, first and foremost is the spiritual aspects that we are leaving inheritance. We're leaving a legacy. They're seeing us. And not just our children, but those around us. We're leaving a legacy of people seeing us with the fruits of the Spirit. We're seeing with love. We're seen with kindness. We're seen with generosity. We're seen with long-suffering. We're seen with patience, you know, humility. And so as we are having the fruits of the Spirit and kingdom qualities in our life, you know, these are the greatest inheritance that we can leave our kids. But, you know, I've noticed that they don't teach a lot of these things, like being a good steward over your money. They don't teach that in school. They have it. It's probably something that they need to add into the curriculum. But so this is so much more important for us as parents, as mentors in people's lives, that we are actually taking steps to leave an inheritance, not just of money, but of knowledge, of the Spirit and of knowledge. Because, you know, the Bible says without knowledge, people perish. You know, you have to have an understanding, you know, even of the things of the Spirit, even of the things that God has entrusted you with. You have to have an understanding, or you really don't know what you have. You know, as believers, we have an inheritance in God. But if you don't know how to use that, if you don't know how to manage that, then you're going to, it's going to almost be like you don't even have it. So it's important that we leave an inheritance and that we understand what that is. Now, if we take a look at the financial side, we know that the Word of God tells us about tithing. We know that this is a spiritual concept. It's a spiritual strategy for us to get ahead and for us to be in covenant with God. And Jesus goes on to actually, in the New Testament, go ahead and cement that concept, not to eradicate that, but he said, this you should have been doing already, but let me build upon this concept. That's a basic truth of tithe. And so we know tithing is important. We know that saving is important. You're always, every week, talking to people about saving and how to save and the many different ways that they can save. We know that we need to be givers. There's opportunities that God gives us to give to people, to give to the kingdom of God. Very important. And then we know we have to spend. There's some areas. So if we know that we're tithing and we're saving and we're giving and we're spending, then we know we're probably going to need a budget. This is so important. What have you seen that's so important about having a budget?
The big thing that I think a lot of people have noticed just over the past several months, because of our obvious challenges that we're all facing, right? If we want to call them that. This is the equivalent of a hurricane that hit the entire world at the same time. God decided to hit the reset button, right? Well, guess what? I did a reset on our budgets. And one of the things that a lot of people don't manage to do, and that is to set up some type of structure to their finances. So the best way to do this, and at least the way that I found it to be, is envision if you all of a sudden you had a 30% cut in your salary. How would you adjust? What would you do if all of a sudden 30% of your income disappeared? You weren't going to get it anymore. And that's what you should always do, regardless, is always live on maybe 70% of what you live, I mean, where you were making. And then the other 30%, obviously, you want to give 10% to God, and you want to put the rest of it aside for yourselves. Part of it has to go towards your retirement, because one day you're going to want to stop working, or perhaps you will stop working for other reasons, because God has told you that you are no longer going to work. If you're ill and you can't work, whatever that case might be. And then the other thing is to avoid debt. And not all debt is bad, but credit card debt is the number one thing that shackles people to many times a job that they don't want to do anymore. They're afraid of leaving their job because of the security that it provides. But, you know, consumer debt is the number one problem that most people contend with. The second one that's becoming a major, major problem is student loans. So here's what I tell you. Minimize what you owe and to whom. Mortgages are what I consider to be a productive debt. We all have to pay to live someplace, whether we're renting or we own something. But again, be smart about what you do. Remember that the majority of the things that you buy and consume, you're either going to throw them away or give them away. So you don't need all the stuff, you know, that people are constantly selling you. Remember, just deal with the stuff that you need. You know, use those as tools. Money is a tool. But like anything else, it can harm you and it can help you, right? We see millionaire, athletes that turn into millionaires overnight, but they never had money before. All of a sudden, they get a $10 million signing bonus. And what's worse is that 5 years later, they're broke and you wonder what happened. How can you possibly go broke if you had $10 million in cash? Yeah. You know, what I'm trying to tell you is that anybody can build up their wealth. You just need good habits. And, you know, I have a gentleman who's a client who's been with me forever. And what I mean by that is that he's been with me for about 30 years. He's in his 90s now, but he never made more than $40,000 a year, but his net worth is over $6.5 million. As a 90-plus-year-old man, he makes over $400,000 a year today, and he doesn't work. He makes his wife go pick up the money. She's the bag lady. And I don't mean bag lady in a bad way.
It's not a bad job. It's not a bad job.
But anyway, my point is, how you set yourself up, that is part of the budgeting process. Mm-hmm. And simply by adjusting your consumption or your expenditures to 70% of what you make keeps you out of trouble.
Yeah.
Keeps you out of debt. And then you only have the things that you actually need, and you don't wind up spending money on stuff you don't need. Okay?
I think there's so much wisdom there, and we're going to be looking at Proverbs, but we talked in one of the other sessions about stewardship, about the three servants. When the king returned, Jesus told this parable, when the king returned, he came back to check on these servants, and one had brought back a hundredfold return, one a fivefold return, and the other no return at all. And so he commended the one that had the tenfold return and the fivefold return, which is approximately 1,000% and 500% return, which is amazing. You know, it's pretty much like unheard of, you know, but these guys had to be hustling, you know. But the third guy that brings no return, he calls him wicked. And I thought that was interesting. When we sit on what God has given us, when we do nothing with what God has given us, when we squander what God has given us, that is actually, in God's sight, wicked. He is actually looking for us to take what he's given us, what he has entrusted us with, and do something with us. He wants us to invest wisely. So if bringing no return is wicked, then investing wisely must be righteous. And so we look at this, the right thing before God for me to do is to be a good steward and a kingdom investor. I'm looking for opportunities to invest in the kingdom of God. I'm looking for opportunities to invest in my family. I'm looking for opportunities to invest in godly relationships around me. I'm looking for opportunities to invest because I want to bring a return on what God has entrusted me with. Because the worst thing that could happen is for when God comes back and he's taken an account of what I've done, he says, you haven't done anything with what I gave you. Or worse yet, you squandered it. That's just wicked. Why didn't you just, you know, do something, get to work, you know? And so there's an expectation, a real kingdom expectation, I find, that is throughout the New Testament that God expects us to steward well. And he expects us to take what he's given, whether that's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's health, whether it's opportunities, whether it's relationships, and bring forth a return on investment. So how do we know when it's a good time to invest? How do you do it? What is your process for investing when you know, I know it's a good moment to invest spiritually, or I know it's a good moment to invest naturally? There's been moments, and I'm not going to say numbers, but there's been moments at the church when we've had campaigns that we're trying to raise money, and you are one of the people that stepped up and said, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a kingdom investor. How do you know when is that moment to invest spiritually and to invest naturally? Cover both sides of it.
You and I were talking earlier today, and I was saying that one of the most valuable things you can do is share your time. Yeah. We all have the same amount of time, right? Yeah. It doesn't matter how much money you have, but the value of your time is worth a lot. And a lot of people don't understand that concept. You know, you've heard the expression, time is money, right? Okay. Well, it is. It literally is. But from the standpoint that I look at it and the way that I interpret that, you know, the proverb, you know, to me, Jesus was talking about not just in the natural, even though that's the way most people receive it. To me, it was like, okay, how many people have you saved? You know?
Absolutely.
You got all this time. You have this talent. Why haven't you brought more souls, you know, to the kingdom? And I never forget that, by the way, in the process of what I do. Too many times people come in and I sit down with them and I realize how superficial, you know, their lives are because they put so much importance on something that has no importance. You've also heard, you know, you're born with nothing and you leave with nothing. And that's exactly what happens. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Yeah. When Wayne Huizenga died, he was a billionaire, you know, but he still left with nothing the same way he came in. So what I'm trying to get at is that the way that you know when it is that you need to be putting forth time, I don't have to tell you that so much as you already know. Mm-hmm. Inside of you, the Spirit tells you, this is someone I need to spend more time with. Regardless of whether that has something to do with money or it just has to do with it because they need you.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Good word.
Okay. And then as far as spiritually is concerned, it's exactly that. I remember sitting in this space when there was nothing here. It was just bare concrete.
Yeah.
And we were sweating to death. And I think it was in May, right? Wasn't it in May?
Yes, it was.
And I came from the office like this. Boy, was that a mistake.
But I came in a tank top.
Right. And sandals and shorts, I would have been happy. But the point was is that we sat here and Pastor Josh said, we're going to need about this much. And I said, done. I mean, it was an immediate thing. And inside of me, I already knew how much my portion was going to be to that number to make, you know, things happen. And today we have the church that we have. And I believe that this church is, considering that it was just a big concrete box to what it is now, you know, this is something, you know, that you have to be proud of. You know? It doesn't have to be the biggest It doesn't have to be the glitziest, but it's ours. Right?
I think there's so much. So, I mean, we could talk about that all night.
Let's do it.
I want to switch gears for 1 second, and I think this is something that we have to touch base with if we're talking about stewardship, specifically over resources and finances. Proverbs 13:11 says, "Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time." And I think that really has a parallel to that story you just told about the man that he worked hard. He worked hard, and he also stewarded well. And then at the end of his life, he had nothing but things to be happy for, and he can leave an inheritance. But some people, they just go around chasing, trying to make it big all the time, instead of just doing what God has already placed within their ability.
Inheritances, I have a problem with to a point. Even though it says that you should, there are many forms of inheritance, as we've been talking about, and it goes beyond monetary. Sometimes we want to do so much for our children, and we're willing to give them anything, aren't we? Moms, dads? But that sometimes is the worst thing we could do. Because if you spoil your children, they don't learn the value of what it is that they're actually receiving. And by showing that there's always an effort that has to be put forth to then collect a reward is very important. So don't forget that as parents, as you're teaching your children this, this is part of the inheritance that you're going to be passing on to them. A long time ago when my children were very young, someone told me that be careful what you do around your kids because they're like camcorders that are always running 24/7, looking at anything and everything that you do, say, act, everything. They record everything. So the more you do for them, remember the things that you've achieved and how you achieved them, and instill those values into them. So that the day that they do have something that's monetary, something that is material, and it's valuable, that they recognize what that value is. And so that they, in turn, can teach that to their own children.
Wow, great word. I love this proverb because it says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears, but wealth from hard work grows over time. So time plus hard work causes your money, your resources to grow. This is what the Word of God says. Time plus hard work. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. If someone is trying to sell you something that you don't have to work, it 9 times out of 10, that thing is not going to work because you have to put work in. You have to put time and you have to put work in. And then you can build something. You can cause something that will grow. And so... we have to look out for these things, these shortcuts. You know, the enemy is always trying to sell us shortcuts. You know, we probably all wasted some money on trying to take shortcuts to this. We see the vision that God has given us, but then sometimes the enemy, if he can't stop us, he'll try to trick us into taking a shortcut there. And that often is something that we absolutely don't need to be involved in. Proverbs 13:13. This is great. Proverbs 13:13. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. You know, I find so many people, unfortunately, don't want to just stop. You know, like the man that doesn't want to stop and ask for directions. That's all of us sometimes. But
no.
You ask for directions?
Never.
But it's important that we're able to humble ourselves and ask someone that knows something that we don't know. Now, you have a lot of people that come to you and ask for advice. What can you say to everybody tonight about asking for advice and where can you go to get good financial advice? You know, sometimes it's people, sometimes it's books, sometimes it's other resources.
all of us here in this room know someone along, you know, your life that you admired or that you thought, I want to be just like them. When you look at them from the level of success, right? Materially, usually, you know, you see someone who drives that incredible car, who has that incredible house or this or that, and you say, I want to be like that person. What I will tell you is that wealth and riches, depending on who you talk to, is a completely different definition to everyone. You know, somebody can look at you and say, you're totally rich. You know, I remember I went to Jamaica, yeah, and one of the gentlemen from the resort that I was staying in asked me, he says, how many cars do you have? I said, we have two. He goes, oh, you're rich. I went to Hawaii once, and it was my second trip to Hawaii, and the tour guide was asking, how many times is this your first time to Hawaii? And we're raising our hands, right? How many times have you got, you know, how many other people here have been there more than once? And we raised our hands. He goes, oh, no, you guys are rich. So to every person, you know, wealth is a different definition. What I will tell you is this, is that if you want to have something of wealth, number one, it's going to take effort. You got to give something to get something. And don't be afraid of serving others. You know, Zig Ziglar is a famous salesman and
motivational speaker.
Yeah, and he teaches people how to sell and stuff. And one of his favorite lines is that you will get everything you want in your life as long as you help other people get what they want. Make sense? And it's absolutely true. So what I'm trying to get at is this. Consistency and discipline, like with everything else, will get you to your goal. And then don't lose sight of that goal. Always stay focused on what it is you're trying to achieve. And I don't care if that's accumulating capital or accumulating spiritual capital. Both of those work in exactly the same way. Because of that one thing that I told you that is extremely valuable. Let's see if anybody was listening. Everybody remember what that was? Your time. So if you direct your time, that resource that we all have, into one direction or another, eventually it'll start paying you back that effort that you've put forth. This is not a difficult formula. It's not.
I find that God allows people to be in our lives that can give us good advice, mm-hmm, whether it be with our families, with our marriages, with our finances. God places relationships around us. A lot of times God's voice sounds like people, people that he's placed around us. So we have to learn from Proverbs 13:13. People who despise advice are asking for trouble. I love asking for advice. I love having people around me that know more than I do in all these different particular areas, because then if I get to a place I don't know, I can call somebody. I've got somebody in my phone that I can call and ask, what do you think about this? How do I fix this problem? What is the answer to this question? And so God has already probably brought these people into your life. So, you know, whether it be health, whether it be family, whether it be spirituality, whether it be finances, you know, God allows us to have relationships. So it's about learning how to ask the right questions. I find great leaders know how to ask the right questions. They're always in a hurry to ask the question first. So seek out advice. And I love this one, Proverbs 13:18. If you ignore criticism, you will end up in poverty and disgrace. If you ignore criticism, you know, actually, the Bible says, those who the Lord loves, he corrects. So sometimes these people that God has placed in your life, maybe it seems like criticism, it seems like something negative, but actually that criticism could save your life, could keep you from ending in disgrace, can keep you from ending in poverty, whether that be spiritual poverty or actual natural poverty. God has placed people around you. So let's steward these relationships. You know, tell us a story about somebody that was in your life that really helped to guide you at a critical point in the financial area.
When I was much younger, I remember talking to my sister's mother-in-law. Yeah. Right? And this woman, extremely soft-spoken, I never, ever heard that lady raise her voice about anything. And I spent quite a bit of time with her because my niece and nephew were growing up, obviously grandma was around. So I got to see grandma a lot. And I remember that I was struggling, trying to figure out exactly what direction my life was going to take. I was probably 19 or 20 years old. And she said to me, she says, continue doing what you're doing. It'll all come together all by itself. And she was absolutely right. She says, every piece of knowledge that you gain is going to make you that much better tomorrow. And it doesn't matter what it is. You know, you will figure that out all on your own on what it is that's valuable. That was one of the things that stay with me to this day. And this took, 5 seconds, a few words. But they were profound, and I never forgot them, to the point that I'm sitting here as a 56-year-old man talking to you about something that happened to me when I was 19 or 20, you know, a few words that somebody spoke. So that's also a lesson for all of us. Yeah. You know, the right words at the right time can make a profound difference. Your dad taught me this, that words are things. And they can be very powerful, and they can pick people up, or they can slam them down. Yeah. So in the monetary side of this whole thing, just a little quick anecdote. Henry Ford was brought into court. He was being sued by somebody. And they were trying to make him look dumb or inferior in some way. And the attorney that was, you know, I guess prosecuting him at the time, you know, said, you know, how does this work? And, you know, what does this mean? And he was using very technical information to make him look, like I said, that he didn't know what he was doing. And he says, you know, everything you're asking me about, I really don't know, which is exactly what the attorney was waiting to hear. But then he continued and he says, but on my desk, I have a board. And on that board, I have a bunch of different buttons. And when I have a question about something that I don't know, I press that button and an expert from that particular field comes in and gives me the information that I need at that particular moment so that I can then make an informed decision. At that point, basically his argument died, you see. So what we were talking about as far as knowing people, a network of people that you trust, and that's hard to do, by the way, especially with money. And I'm going to tell you that right now, okay? You know, your cousin's cousin who is making $1 million in his pajamas trading stocks, you shouldn't give him any money, probably. Okay? Use your common sense. You know, the Spirit will guide you. It really will. If you just settle yourself down, think about what you're doing, pray about it, and you'll make the right decision. Too many times we make the wrong decision. And we make it not because we're not listening, or I should say we are not listening. The Spirit is telling us not to do it. But in our minds, we want to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Ladies? You married the first guy you fell in love with, right? Anyway, you get the idea. You shouldn't have. Guys, too. But my point is, we do the same thing with money. And sometimes we even do that with other parts of our lives that we should not be doing that. Listen to that inner voice, which is the Spirit talking to you and letting you know how to make certain choices. If you don't know, then do find those experts. And make sure it's somebody who's legitimate. Make sure that it's someone, you know. For instance, if you have a tax question, don't go to the guy who has a little shop over that says, you know, we fill out your tax forms. Find yourself a CPA who went to school, you know, who had to work for that designation, and who was then had to prove it in order to get those little initials after their name. They mean something. Find out what that is and then get the information from them. You follow? If you want to do investing, you come see a guy like me. I'm going to tell you what to do or what not to do or what you need to do, which is even more important. Too many times we try to run before we can crawl. So make sure you're crawling before you start walking so you can ultimately run. Make sense? Okay.
Amen. So many good things tonight. We have to allow ourselves to be surrounded by the right people, the people that God has brought into our lives, because out of that flows advice that can help us to leave an inheritance, to have the type of footprint, to have the type of legacy that I believe God would want us to have. And so I pray that you take these things to heart and let God work with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's listening to this right now. God, I thank you that you would stir up, Father, within them the wisdom. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your word says if you lack wisdom, ask for it. Ask your generous God, and he will gladly give it to you. He won't refuse you. And so, God, I thank you that you give us wisdom, Father, as we steward our lives, we steward our health, we steward our marriages, we steward our families, we steward our finances, we steward our destiny. God, that we would be faithful stewards, that when you come back to inspect what we're doing, you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me entrust you with even more. Let me bless even more what you're doing. God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.